They took away her beautiful clothes, dressed her in an old gray smock, and gave her wooden shoes. Chapter 1. The screw through Cinder's ankle had rusted, the engraved cross marks worn to a mangled circle. Her knuckles ached from forcing the screwdriver into the joint as she struggled to loosen the screw, one gritting twist after another. By the time it was extracted far enough for her to wrench free with her prosthetic steel hand, the hairline threads had been stripped clean. Tossing the screwdriver onto the table, Cinder gripped her heel and yanked the foot from its socket. A spark singed her fingertips and she jerked away, leaving the foot to dangle from a tangle of red and yellow wires. She slumped back with a relieved groan. A sense of release hovered at the end of those wires. Freedom. Having loathed the too small foot for 4 years, she swore to never put the piece of junk back on again. She just hoped Iko would be back soon with its replacement. Cinder was the only full-service mechanic at New Beijing's weekly market. Without a sign, her booth hinted at her trade only by the shelves of stock Android parts that crowded the walls. It was squeezed into a shady cove between a used netscreen dealer and a silk merchant, both of whom frequently complained about the tangy smell of metal and grease that came from Cinder's booth, even though it was usually disguised by the aroma of honey buns from the bakery across the square. Cinder knew they really just didn't like being next to her. A stained tablecloth divided Cinder from browsers as they shuffled past. The square was filled with shoppers and hawkers, children and noise. The bellows of men as they bargained with robotic shopkeepers, trying to talk the computers down from their desired profit margins. The hum of ID scanners and monotone voice receipts as money changed accounts. The net screens that covered every building and filled the air with the chatter of advertisements, news reports, gossip. Cinder's auditory interface dulled the noise into a static thrumming. But today, one melody lingered above the rest that she couldn't drown out. A ring of children were standing just outside her booth, trilling, "Ashes, ashes, we all fall down," and then laughing hysterically as they collapsed to the pavement. A smile tugged at Cinder's lips. Not so much at the nursery rhyme, a phantom song about pestilence and death that had regained popularity in the past decade. The song itself made her squeamish. But she did love the glares from passers-by as the giggling children fell over in their paths. The inconvenience of having to swarm around the writhing bodies stirred grumbles from the shoppers, and Cinder adored the children for it.
"Sunto! Sunto!"
Cinder's amusement wilted. She spotted Chang Sasha, the baker, pushing through the crowd in her flower-coated apron.
"Sunto, come here. I told you not to play so close to—"
Sasha met Cinder's gaze, knotted her lips, then grabbed her son by the arm and spun away. The boy whined, dragging his feet as Sasha ordered him to stay closer to their booth. Cinder wrinkled her nose at the baker's retreating back. The remaining children fled into the crowd, taking their bright laughter with them.
"It's not like the wires are contagious," Cinder muttered to her empty booth.
With a spine-popping stretch, she pulled her dirty fingers through her hair, combing it up into a messy tail, then grabbed her blackened work gloves. She covered her steel hand first, and though her right palm began to sweat immediately inside the thick material, she felt more comfortable with the gloves on, hiding the plating of her left hand. She stretched her fingers wide, working out the cramp that had formed at the fleshy base of her thumb from clenching the screwdriver, and squinted again into the city square. She spotted plenty of stocky white androids in the din, but none of them Iko. Sighing, Cinder bent over the toolbox beneath the work table. After digging through the jumbled mess of screwdrivers and wrenches, she emerged with the fuse puller that had been long buried at the bottom. One by one, she disconnected the wires that still linked her foot and ankle, each spurting a tiny spark. She couldn't feel them through the gloves, but her retina display helpfully informed her with blinking red text that she was losing connection to the limb.
With the yank of the last wire, her foot clattered to the concrete. The difference was instant. For once in her life, she felt weightless. She made room for the discarded foot on the table, setting it up like a shrine amid the wrenches and lug nuts, before hunkering over her ankle again and cleaning the grime from the socket with an old rag. Thud. Cinder jerked, her head smacking the underside of the table. She shoved back from the desk, her scowl landing first on a lifeless android that sat squat on her work table, and then on the man behind it. She was met with startled copper-brown eyes and black hair that hung past his ears and lips that every girl in the country had admired 1,000 times. Her scowl vanished. His own surprise was short-lived, melting into an apology. "I'm sorry," he said. "I didn't realize anyone was back there." Cinder barely heard him above the blankness in her mind. With her heartbeat gathering speed, her retina display scanned his features, so familiar from years spent watching him on the net screens. He seemed taller in real life, and a gray hooded sweatshirt was like none of the fine clothes he usually made appearances in. But still, it took only 2.6 seconds for Cinder's scanner to measure the points of his face and link his image to the net database. Another second, and the display informed her of what she already knew. Details scribbled across the bottom of her vision in a stream of green text.